Yes, welcome back into the Auburn Daily Show. My name is Harrison Tarr, joined today by Dylan Lark, as I am every Wednesday. I'm at by Harrison Tarr on Twitter. He's at your boy, the Tank, on Twitter. Tank, how are we doing today, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm ready to talk about some football. I love the Senior Bowl. Love the NFL draft. I love the time in between the combine and pro days are always fun. I'm hyped up. Yeah, you know, I'm Tank talks football for a reason. I love the sport. So
I know that you're fired up to talk a little bit about the Reese's Senior Bowl, actually a lot about the Reese's Senior Bowl and the implications going forward about the guys that are participating from Auburn and those that may not be participating from Auburn. We've got a bunch of guys from the Auburn Daily down in Mobile, Alabama this week. I'm glad to see that they've been posting videos of actually being at practice, Dylan. I was a little worried for a minute there that Blackerby and Lance Daw may have been just hanging out, eating shrimp. and if they were, I wouldn't fault them. Down in Mobile, Alabama, had some pretty dang good seafood there and once or twice in my life. Anyways, we'll get into the Senior Bowl and everything that goes with that. That's going to be this Saturday. That's February 4th, Dylan, right? At 1:30 Central Time?
That is correct. 1:30 Central Time in the best time zone, Central Standard Time, on February 4th in the great holy city of Mobile, Alabama.
In the lovely South on campus at the University of South Alabama. They actually have a very nice little stadium they got going on over there, Dylan. It's not a bad venue. Got to check it out a couple of years back myself during the COVID era. Let's talk a little bit about some Auburn guys, some that may have pulled up in some lifted pickup trucks and some that might not have to the Senior Bowl. That's not me throwing shade at Derek Hall, by the way. That's just an incredible – that's a sweet ride.
It's a beautiful truck. You can't fault him for it because he's had it before NIL.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. No shame. And no shame if he didn't. But still, he's got – that's a sweet ride. And the only reason I mentioned it is because I kind of wish it was my ride. Of course, I would need a stepladder to get into it. that being said, let's start right there. Let's start with Derek Hall, with the guy that most of us – pretty consensus. First Auburn Tiger going to go off the board and someone that a lot of people think can be an instant impact guy in his first year or early going in the NFL. 6'3", 256 pounds is what Auburn's got him at right now. Obviously, out of Gulfport, Mississippi. Linebacker, Dylan, give me your breakdown on Derek Hall and what he is as an Auburn player and what he can prove this weekend.
All right. Well, looking at this past season, no player stepped up more as a leader than Derek Hall did. And I think that in and of itself makes him a great fit anywhere. I don't think he has there's not a bad landing spot for Derek Hall because he can mesh well with literally anybody. Large frame, strong, fast edge rusher. And he's starting to get a lot of good looks from a lot of high up people in the NFL draft world. Mel Kiper has him ranked as the number two outside linebacker right behind one Mr. Will Anderson. So we do live in a world where it does go Alabama, Auburn as the top two edge rushers, but you don't know whether an edge rusher is anymore just because it's just a linebacker who rushes a passer. So, but yeah, strong, fast. There's very, very few weaknesses about his game. And I think that's why he's getting such a surge of popularity in the NFL draft world. He's currently predicted to go number 27 overall to the Buffalo Bills, which would have him right next to one Von Miller on that defensive line. So I don't think a defensive line can get any more scary than Von Miller on the right side and big old Derek Hall on the other side. So
you want to talk about a little duo right there that should terrorize pretty much and give headaches to pretty much any offensive coordinator. That'd probably be it. Von Miller and Derek Hall. I mean, if you look at Derek's progression over his four seasons at Auburn, he's been an impactful guy really, really since 2021 in a big way. But has been an impactful guy his entire way through. Obviously, 6.5 sacks in 2022 after nine in 2021. That's just off the walls, bonkers. 41 solo tackles in 2022. Like you said, that's nuts. 2021, he had 33, 15, and 2020, and 9 and 19. And 19. Not that those are important, but has been continual development. And just to throw that in there, in 2022, he got his first career pick. In his senior season. That's a fun little one.
Which, fun fact about that, was the first turnover, I believe, of the entire season for Auburn.
Because, of course. I think to your point, Derek Hall, he has all the tangibles, right? The skill set that you know that you can coach up. He's got speed coming off the edge. He can get to the quarterback. He can bring pressure, and he's good at open field tackling. That's something that's tremendously valuable at all levels of the game, specifically in the NFL. But culturally, there's no way he doesn't fit anywhere. He's one of those guys that Auburn recognized time and time again for being one of the most spirited student athletes in terms of always being at Auburn basketball games. He's pretty well known for those pretty sweet shades that he'd wear in the front row of the jungle during that magic, that semi-magical run in 2021 to 22 for Bruce Pearl and company. But always there leading the jungle, always seen around campus, great representation of the university, and it's going to be a great representation of any professional organization. And you know, we talk about the tangibles, you know, how fast can a guy run a 40, how high is his vertical, how much can he bench, what's his shuttle. Those things are great, and he's got them all. And then you get the everything else is gravy, right, Dylan?
Oh yeah.
And Derek Hall's one of those guys that if there's ever a first round someone who deserves to be a first round talent, it is this young man. Hugh Freeze even mentioned earlier today. Hugh Freeze is down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, which is kind of funny because he didn't coach any of these guys. But that's neither here nor there. Him saying, yeah, Derek Hall, and we're going to get to in a second, Echo Leota. I didn't get to coach these guys, so I really can't take much credit, but I would have absolutely begged for them if I would have been in town a couple weeks earlier. So one of those guys that just highly sought after. And there's another guy on the Auburn defense. There's a couple more, actually, we're going to talk about that a lot of NFL talents, a lot of NFL organizations, rather, are going to be kind of licking their chops at, Dylan. It starts with Derek Hall, and it transfers over to Echo Leota. So do me a solid, Dylan, and do the true thing that I've always done about Echo Leota. Please be my guest.
So Echo Leota is probably not going to get a lot of leeway from a lot of NFL draft analysts because he's probably listed as like a day three guy right now. I'm pretty sure he is a day three guy. But that could change very quickly if he has a good enough combine, Senior Bowl, Pro Day, etc. Just because the injury probably knocked him out of a lot of this conversation. People don't talk about how good this D-line would actually have been last season if we would have had Echo Leota, Colby Wooden, who we're going to talk about as well, and Derek Hall on all healthy at the same time on this defensive line. There have been three big uglies up front that you cannot stop. And Echo Leota, before injury, he's a great pass rusher. He's great size, great build. He's 6'5", 284, and he's listed as an interior defensive line on some places. He's listed as I'm looking at the wrong guy. I'm looking at Colby Wooden. That probably doesn't help my case.
I was about to say, there's no way Echo Leota's listed as anything other than an edge.
Yeah, he edge rusher. There we go. 6'4", 257. You know, the size is pretty similar. But yeah, he's a good pass rusher. And it's the health reasons. I mean, the torn ACL is always a tough one to get back from. And I think he has all the facets you want. There's not again, I'm looking at some of those weaknesses. It just doesn't change direction easily. Doesn't move well laterally. But, I mean, those are all, like, mechanics you can fix with a good coaching staff. And everything else about him is pretty dang good he's a great prospect in general. I mean, I think he's going to be a steal in the probably fifth, sixth round, maybe. Maybe in fourth round. You never know.
I absolutely agree, Dylan. And this is another one of those guys. You look at the stat sheet dating back to his first year at Auburn in 2019. Once that sounds familiar here. But it progressively getting better. 2.5 sacks as a freshman, then he has 4 as a sophomore, 7 as a junior, 2 before he gets injured and as a senior. And it's probably, and you and I have talked about this on the College Loop a good bit, I mean, Echo Leota might be the biggest what if of the 2022 Auburn football season. He's one of those cases where does Echo Leota staying healthy win you a couple more games? I think it might at least win you one. And he is that kind of guy. It's one of those things where it's not easy to scheme for Derek Hall, like we just mentioned. It's also not easy to scheme for Echo Leota. It's very tough to scheme for both of them. And if you keep them healthy, you wonder. And you I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of the what if game, but it's something you think about. And the qualities are there in terms of the skill and the talent ceiling. I think Echo Leota has a very, very high ceiling. And he's going to be one of those guys that flies under the radar. And probably one of those guys that you look 5 or 6 down the years of the road, 5 years down the road, and you look back and you go, wow, how did this guy fly under the radar? I think Echo Leota could very well be a week to week starting talent in the NFL. And people look back and say, wow, like, where did we miss this? You know?
Yeah, and I think you get that from all five of these guys we're going to talk about today. I think all of the Auburn guys who could get drafted all have really high ceilings. And the perfect thing about Ekuliota is Derek Hall was more of the pass rush guy. He could break off and make a stop the run. But Ekuliota was really good at stopping the run. Like, that was his bread and butter. And he was a good pass rusher as well, but he was really good. He'd go through a double team. He'd shut down the running back right then and there. And you look at could have went Auburn a couple more games. I mean, Ole Miss was a great rushing team. We didn't have Ekuliota to stop Quinshon Judkins. Same thing with Arkansas. They're a good running team. Ekuliota could have possibly changed that defense because, I mean, Auburn was in both those games until they weren't because they couldn't stop the offense.
Right.
And you're right. Ekuliota is probably one of the biggest what-ifs, maybe not just 2022, but Auburn in general, just because you don't know how much different this team could have been. Drop my pencil. If we would have had all these guys healthy at the same time. And, I mean, all three of those guys on the same field, and you add in like a Jason Jones on that defensive line, it gets pretty scary if you're an opposing quarterback.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that we're talking about the what ifs in the world of Auburn football of late. And as a great segue into our next guy and the final guy who's received an invite to the Senior Bowl, the recent Senior Bowl, and we have a couple other guys we're going to talk about in terms of NFL talents, NFL prospects. But I want to talk a minute about Owen Papo. And I know you're going to come at me. I scooped ice cream with the kid when we were in high school. And I will always be the biggest advocate in the world for Owen Papo, not just as a football player, but as a great, great guy, great man. But talk about one of the biggest what-ifs maybe in recent Auburn history. Let's talk about former five-star Owen Papo, 6'1", 225 out of the, it says birthplace was Lawrenceville, Georgia, out of the great city of Grayson, Georgia. First and foremost, actually, Owen was born in Lawrenceville, so I don't want to say that, but, out of the great city of Grayson, Georgia, this guy, all he did was tackle people. I mean, that's all he did while he was in Auburn. And it still felt like you didn't get that X factor out of Owen Papo, but you really, really could. At the next level. And Dylan, I'd be interested for you to hear me out, or for me to hear your perspective. I know you're tired of listening to me ramble on and on, and I'm going to give my two pieces. Hear your thoughts on what Owen Papo could be at the next level.
I mean, on the College Loop, we talked about him a lot, and I feel like we talked about him at least once a week. But Owen Papo is just such a great athlete. He has gotten enough leeway from Mel Kiper to be on his just missed the top 10. He's on, I guess if you're the first one mentioned, it's an honorable mention, you're number 11. So that's where I'm just assuming he's inside linebacker 11.
Sure.
And I found somewhere that this guy ran a 4.3 240. Is this true?
They don't call him the freak for no reason.
And you're looking at a guy who can run with anybody. You have a linebacker. I have an NFL draft profile up of this guy, and his strengths are filling up the page, and his weaknesses are a quarter of the page. The guy is an athletic monster, and I know he's listed as a linebacker, and you talk about all the time that he probably was underutilized because he probably shouldn't have been a linebacker while at Auburn. He could have been a safety. He could have been a nickel. He could have been any of those guys. And running a 4.3 2 at linebacker is freaking ridiculous.
And Zach Blackerby and I talk about it all the time. You don't run the nickel enough for it to make it a specific position for the amount of snaps that you need Owen Papo on the field. But, I mean, Blackerby brings up a great point. Owen Papo might have just been a really big SEC safety. So I'm going to let you cook, but I couldn't agree more.
And I believe on the last time we talked about on the College Loop, I had a great NFL draft comparison for him. Isaiah Simmons.
Absolutely.
You just have he's just another linebacker who maybe was undersized for the linebacker position, but he played it so well. And Owen Papo probably wasn't as great as Isaiah Simmons was at college. That's just a fact. I hope that doesn't hurt, like step on your toes at all when I say something negative about Owen Papo. But I mean, also to talk about how underutilized he was, how underrated he is as a linebacker. I think he's going to end up falling it late second round, early third round. Maybe he's probably going to be a day three guy as well, but he's going to be a linebacker you're going to hear about probably his rookie year, just because you can't keep talent like that on the bench. I mean, Isaiah Simmons was a bit of a workhorse as well, but he got in there early, and I think he's going to end up playing safety. I mean, you can't just have 4.3 2 speed and have it on the bench. I mean, he's so athletic, put him at kick returner. I mean, I don't know what to do with him. Neither did Auburn coaches. But, I mean, nothing – there's very few wrong with Owen Papo's game, except for maybe the fact that he did suffer a little bit with injuries.
Yeah, he battled it his entire sophomore year and junior year for that matter. But that's kind of neither here nor there, Dylan. I mean, that's something that's water under the bridge now. And if he has a good pro day, assuming he's healthy enough to participate in pro day. Excuse me, sorry, a little hiccup there. Oop, there's another one. But lots of good things. I'm sorry.
I will say the only thing I think that could possibly drop him any lower is the fact that if they do want to have a linebacker, he's not the best pass rusher. I guess the pass coverage.
He's
not that big either. But I mean, undersized linebackers get drafted all the time. But the thing about the linebackers is you have to be good at pass rushing. So maybe if he gets drafted as more of an athlete kind of guy, then yeah, it'll be fine if he's not as great as pass rushing. But if he's drafted as a linebacker and going to be used as a linebacker, that pass rusher might come back and bite him.
Yeah, and I'm just going to go ahead and echo what I said about Derek Hall earlier in the show. You throw all this skill set in, and then you talk about a guy that's going to be an ambassador for your organization and for your community. I mean, these things do matter more than people probably think they do. I'm not saying you're going out and drafting a team of Nobel Peace Prize winners. That's not what I'm saying. But you do want those guys with good character in terms of if you're looking for a good PR, it never hurts. There's a lot of teams that would love some good PR right now. And that this is one of those guys that can really, really help an organization like that. That being said, before we transition into a couple of guys that are not participating in the Senior Bowl, because, well, quite frankly, they're not seniors in large, let me take a moment. Dylan, I want to take just a second out of your day, just a moment, to take a second out of your day and say that this season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks in 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over or under for the next game, and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3, and you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. That's clutch, by the way. I'm not a good gambler, but that's always very beneficial to me. Best of all, you can use the code Auburn, that's AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code AUBURN for double your first deposit. It's a great deal, guys. I used mine last week. Lindsey Crosby put me on the wave, went with the Lindsey's Locks. Lindsey may or may not have won me a little bit of money. You never know. Maybe I'll disclose that one day. Narrator, yes. This college basketball season, win some money with Prize Picks and the Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn. That's AUBURN. And Dylan, you know the rule of thumb. Listen to Lindsey. Don't take TARS. So let's move on into a handful of guys. We talked just a moment ago about Auburn athletes that are participating in the Senior Bowl this weekend. Let's talk about a couple of guys that we expect to make some noise in the NFL. Or at least hear their names called to get to the next level that are not necessarily in the Senior Bowl because, well, like I said, they're not seniors. Let's start with the obvious. Let's talk a little bit about a guy who you may have heard of if you've ever watched an Auburn football game in the past 3 years by the name of Tank Bigsby. And his impact, Dylan was kind of going through the ringer before we got on this podcast because he was a little mind-boggled by some of the numbers he read and, quite frankly, how underrated Tank Bigsby may be going into this draft. Dylan, tell me about it.
Yeah, so Mel Kiper, he has an entire line. Like some of these like positions he's graded and rated. Some of them don't have honorable mention. Some of them have like 5 or 6. The running back category has 10 honorable mentions. He is ranked basically 20 running backs, and one name is missing from this entire list unless I just haven't seen it. And I'm reading through it again, and yeah, he's not there. Tank Bigsby's not ranked by Mel Kiper. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Tank Bigsby is a fast, powerful running back who is agile. I think he's going to be one of the more underrated running backs in the NFL. His only gripe is, I'm going to go and go through his weaknesses. I mean, he's not a pass catcher. He was not utilized as a pass catcher while at Auburn. And his hands are good, but he's not a route runner. And that's kind of what the NFL is kind of leaning toward nowadays. But I feel like that could also be coached up. I don't feel like that's a big enough weakness to just throw him to the wolves to be a fifth, sixth, seventh round draft pick and just kind of like, well, we'll kind of get his name by. You know, he's just a sixth round pick, but the talent, Tank Bigsby is him. He's been the best part of this Auburn offense for the past what, three seasons?
Yeah, for sure, without a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, you're talking about a 1,000-yard rusher just two seasons ago.
And really close to it this past season.
Yeah, and an 800-plus-yard rusher as a freshman, as a guy that no one had heard of in an abbreviated season, an 830-yard rusher in a 10-game season. It's just unforeseen or unprecedented in terms of just raw talent. And like you said, Bigsby not known as a route runner, but a reliable receiving back for, let's face it, a group of quarterbacks who have had to throw a lot of checkdowns and dump off passes to wide receivers over the past years. I mean, if you look at it, Tank Bigsby had 30 receptions in 2022. He had 21 in 2021 and 11 in 2020, which that makes sense because there's a continual trickle downward, right? But that's neither here nor there. There's a ton of value in Tank Bigsby's game. I mean, shoot, in a year that a lot of people considered 2022 to kind of be a Bigsby down year, averaged 5.4 yards carry with 10 touchdowns. I don't know what we're missing here. Tank Bigsby's going to make an NFL team very happy. And there's beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was headed to the league. So this was an interesting one for me to see kind of get underrated. And one of those guys you feel like could probably have an immediate impact in the NFL. I mean, your running backs just don't have long lifespans.
Yeah, and I mean, I went through their weaknesses, and their weaknesses are kind of like, eh. But I feel like Derek Hall had a weakness that I feel like could fit in with a lot of these Auburn guys who are trying to get drafted, is the coaching instability. I feel like a lot of these teams are seeing, like, Auburn players, and like especially with the Tank Bigsby, that's why he's rated so low, is the fact that you're looking at, well, Auburn didn't have the best production over the past few years, but they're all dogs. Like, I would never look at Tank Bigsby and be like, this guy's not getting drafted. I would never be this guy's better. I would never look at Zach Charbonnet and be like, yeah, I would take that guy over Tank Bigsby, or Kendre Miller from TCU, who had a great season. But I mean, there's a lot of these guys on this list that I just don't think I would take over Tank Bigsby. And I just don't see what everyone else is seeing, apparently. And I think most of that's because they're kind of hesitant to give an Auburn player after all the turmoil that's been going on. I mean, I just think that they're a little worried just because of that. It makes no sense.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I'm kind of with you about there's something interesting about this kind of being an under the radar pick. And maybe Tank Bigsby is one of those guys that a bigger name fan base, he slips in the draft, a bigger name fan base drafts him and goes, who's this guy? And then they know by week 2. You know, that could be the case, and that feels quite possible. And let's transition over from Tank Bigsby to another guy from, fun fact, my hometown. Hometown area, played against my high school growing up. Young man, would you like to wager or guess who this is, Dylan? We're out of people, so I'd hope you guess.
I'm gonna assume it's one of the Wooden brothers.
Well, it's not. Yes, it is Colby. Both of them did, in fact. I believe they played Brookwood High School. Here's your guy that's you're looking at. I mean, another defensive end coming out of Auburn. And tell me you've heard this story before. That a lot of people are kind of high on in terms of this could be a late round steal, and a kid that can really make an impact kind of early in his career. So talk to me a little bit about Colby Wooden before we kind of wrap things up. And I've got one final question, and I'll give my thoughts. And then that was a jumbled word vomit, but you know what I'm saying. So Dylan, absolutely get after it and attack the day.
All right, Colby Wooden, 6'5", 284 pounds. This guy is an interior defensive lineman. He could also play D-end. Dude's big. And pretty fast for his size, too. I mean, he kind of reminds – I don't want to say he reminds me of like a Marlon Davidson, because Marlon Davidson is a whole lot bigger than he was, but I think the talent level is probably there. I think if you give him a better coaching staff, he does put up a Marlon Davidson level production. And he's a great pass rusher. The size should make any defensive coordinator drool.
You should at least be interested.
You should at least look at this guy and be like, you know what? Yeah, I want this guy. But I mean, I just don't see where everyone's looking at him and just not seeing the talent. Colby Wooden is listed as the number 6 defensive tackle. I overlooked that. Yeah, so yeah, Mel Kiper is seeing what I'm seeing. So let's go.
Dylan has now decided that Mel Kiper actually is the best at evaluating Colby Wooden.
I've heard Mel Kiper is the best at evaluating Derek Hall, Owen Papo, and Colby Wooden.
That's what we've all come to the consensus of, yes.
But Colby Wooden, I think, is going to be one of the – he might fall to the third round. He might get drafted.
When I said late round, let me clarify. When I said late round, I think that he's more valuable than he was. That's kind of how I conveyed that message. I just kind of ran with it when you were going elsewhere.
So he's definitely a second round, third round kind of guy, just because defensive linemen get picked up all the time. And I think I compare him to Marlon Davidson. I think he's going to get picked up around the same time as Marlon Davidson did in the second round. And he's going to put up probably the same amount of production, if not more, than Marlon Davidson did. I mean, expect more thick sixes maybe from Colby Wooden. But yeah, I mean, I think that these two pass rushers coming out of Auburn with Colby Wooden and Derek Hall is going to be very reminiscent of a Derrick Brown and a Marlon Davidson type draft. You're going to go 1 and 2 with two defensive linemen getting picked up on day one and day two in the first and second round, just because that's how they were. They were the 1-2 punch on the defensive line. And they kind of had to be, because they didn't have anyone to lean on besides themselves. I mean, Jason Jones is good, but without that secondary defensive lineman beside him, I mean, Cole Wooten, he's interior defensive line, but he kind of had to play the defensive end just to give Auburn that secondary edge rusher that they needed with Ekwu Liotta. And I mean, these two guys, I think they're going to – we've said it all show. I think it's going to be the title. Coach is going to be very happy with probably any of these guys they're going to take, but especially with Colby Wood and Derek Hall.
I could not agree more, Dylan. And with that, we're going to have to wrap this one up. We are getting a little long on time here. I know that Mr. Tank Talks Football himself gets a little fired up when we talk NFL drafts. As a matter of fact, I did, in fact, invite him to a concert. May or may not have been Cody Johnson. And he told me he had to watch, what was it, day three of the draft?
It was day three, yes.
Yeah, we're not even going to talk about that right now. Dylan, tell everybody where they can find your information, where they can read more of you, see less of you, watch more of you, or just block you all together.
You can follow me down there at You Boy the Tank. That is my Twitter. My Instagram is just my name. Spell it right. That's a CK, not just a K, for all you illiterates out there. And you can also catch me on the College Hoop Podcast that comes out every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday with Mr. Harrison Tarr and Daniel Locke. We have some surprise guests coming up, and you can follow us anywhere except for MySpace, and it's just at the College Loop.
Yes, sir. Like Dylan, like you just said, you can find a lot of my work at the College Loop, a lot of my graphic work, a lot of not my graphic work, some of my good comedy, some of my bad comedy. You can find my Twitter at @byHarrisonTarr right there underneath. If you're watching the live, the YouTube version of the podcast. If not, it's at @byHarrisonTarr. As if you're looking at a byline on a newspaper, magazine, whatever you may read or take your content. You can also find me on the Auburn Daily's website. Every now and again, I will hop on and talk women's basketball. And by that, every now and again, I mean every single time women's basketball plays, and sometimes when they don't play. Sometimes I give my opinion into the abyss. I very much appreciate it if you go check it out. Thank you guys so much for checking out the Auburn Daily Show. We'll be right here, same place, same time tomorrow afternoon, wherever you may be intaking this content. And until then, this has been the Wednesday installment, the Tar and Lark installment of the Auburn Daily Show.